All right, get ready to dive into some seriously mind-bending stuff today, because we're tackling the world of neuroscience and spirituality.
Fascinating stuff.
We're diving into the work of Andrew Newberg, and get ready to rethink what you thought you knew about belief.
Yeah, Newberg's approach is so interesting, right? He takes this really abstract concept of belief, something we'd usually consider kind of intangible, and he breaks it down into these four, like, concrete components.
Mm-hmm.
Perceptions, emotions, cognitions, those thinking parts, and then those social interactions.
Okay, I'm already hooked. It's like he's giving us a backstage pass to, like, the belief factory, so it's not just this mystical, mysterious process. We can actually, like, pull it apart and see the pieces.
Exactly. And here's the thing, those parts, they're not just hanging out solo. They're constantly, like, doing this intricate dance, influencing each other, shaping how we see the world.
I like that. Our brains are choreographing this elaborate performance, and our beliefs are the final show.
Right.
But where does that choreography even come from? Are we born with it, or do we pick it up along the way?
That's where it gets even cooler. Newberg says we are actually, like, pre-programmed to believe certain ways from birth. We aren't showing up as blank slates. We've got this set of predispositions that help us make sense of things, like a starting point.
So, like, a basic operating system for belief pre-installed.
Exactly. But, and here's the catch, those predispositions, they're just the beginning, right?
Yeah.
As we experience new things, we interact with other people, we build relationships, our environment, it really starts to mold those initial beliefs. Like, imagine a sculptor with a block of clay, right? Basic shape is there, but it's the sculptor's hands that form it into something unique.
So we're all basically born sculptors, shaping and reshaping our own beliefs as we go through life.
Exactly. And that leads us to a distinction Newberg makes in his work, constructive and destructive beliefs.
Okay, before we get too far, let's define those a little bit. Because something tells me it's not as simple as slapping a good or bad label on a belief.
You're totally right, yeah. It's not about good or bad, but more about understanding how our beliefs impact us. Newberg says it's actually more about how strongly we hold a belief and whether we can stay open to other perspectives. That really determines if it'll help or hurt us.
Can you give an example of how that actually plays out in, you know, real life, that open versus closed grip on a belief?
Let's say someone totally believes they'll never succeed in, say, a particular career. If they just cling to that belief, like, it's a fact, right?
Yeah.
Refuse to see any other evidence. It becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy. They avoid challenges, give up easily.
Oh, wow.
And might even sabotage their own success.
So, like, their belief, because they're holding on to it so tightly, actually ends up shaping their reality.
Precisely. But then imagine someone else, similar belief, but they hold it a little looser, They admit their doubts, but they're also open to being wrong, maybe.
Yeah.
That little bit of openness lets them approach challenges differently.
Yeah.
They're curious, they learn from mistakes,
right?
And they actually increase their chances of success.
That is a powerful example of how just the way we hold a belief, not even the belief itself, but the way we're holding it, can completely change things for us. It's not just some abstract idea, there are real consequences.
100%. And that's where this intersection of neuroscience and spirituality gets really cool. Newberg's research, it suggests our brains are actually wired to seek belief. This search for meaning, he calls it self-transcendence.
Ooh, self-transcendence, that sounds pretty intense. Is that like that human need to be part of something bigger than ourselves?
You got it. It's that drive to connect with something beyond us as individuals, to find purpose and meaning in something bigger than our everyday life. And that, according to Newberg, is where religion comes in.
So are we talking, like, literally hardwired for God here? Is there a God spot somewhere in our brain that's, like, lighting up?
Wouldn't that be something?
Right.
You know, you might have heard that God module idea, like a single spot in the brain lights up when we think about, you know, spiritual stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But Newberg's research, it's saying it's not so simple.
Oh, really? So no designated deity department in our heads. Honestly, kind of bummed.
I know, right? Would make things easier, wouldn't it? Just find the God spot and we're done. But the reality is way more interesting, actually. Newberg's saying it's more like a whole brain experience.
Mm.
Not just one module, but a whole network of brain regions, all working together during religious and spiritual experiences. Each one's adding its own little something to the mix.
So less like a solo, more like a whole orchestra.
Exactly. Think about it. The emotions, the rituals, that feeling of awe, connecting with others. Those are all part of religious experience, and those probably involve different parts of the brain, all playing together to make that really complex experience we call spiritual.
Okay, that makes sense. But even if there's no one God spot, are there certain areas that seem more, I don't know, active, important in these experiences?
Oh, for sure. Newberg's found that while lots of areas get involved, the temporal lobes, especially the amygdala and the hippocampus, those seem really key.
Those ring a bell, vaguely. Remind me what they do again?
Right, so the amygdala, think of it like the emotional center. Fear, joy, even that awe you were talking about during a spiritual moment. That's the amygdala processing all that.
Interesting. And the hippocampus, what's its role?
Memory lane, that's hippocampus territory. Helps us make new memories, dig up old ones, which might explain why so many spiritual experiences involve really vivid memories or feeling connected to something ancient and bigger than ourselves.
So it's like these temporal lobe structures are basically weaving together those emotional and memory threads to make these experiences so powerful.
Exactly. And hold on to your hat, because the temporal lobes, they're also involved in those really mystical experiences some people report. You know, visions, that feeling of transcendence, oneness with the universe.
You weren't kidding about getting interesting. It really makes you wonder if those, what some people call unexplainable experiences, if there's a real, like, neurological basis to them after all. But, you know, I have to ask, because I've heard people try to write off these religious experiences as nothing more than, like, a brain glitch, like blaming it on epilepsy or schizophrenia. What's Newberg's take on that?
Yeah, he gets that a lot. And he's careful about it. He knows there have been cases where people with certain conditions, like temporal lobe epilepsy you mentioned, they report these profound religious experiences. But he cautions against jumping to conclusions based on just that.
How so? What's the problem with connecting those dots?
Well, first off, not everyone with those conditions has those experiences. It's actually a pretty small number. And way more important, there are tons of people who have had these really powerful spiritual moments and no history of any brain disorders at all. To say that those experiences are always, or even usually, caused by something being off in the brain, it just doesn't hold up.
Right. It's like saying everyone who eats ice cream in the summer gets sunburned. Just because they happen at the same time doesn't mean one causes the other.
Exactly. Plus, Newberg points to how transformative these religious experiences can be. Many people say it really changes their whole perspective on life, death, relationships. They come out with a renewed sense of purpose, a deeper connection to themselves and the world.
So not just a fleeting brain blip, these experiences can have a real lasting impact.
Exactly. And Newberg argues that transformative power, that points to something deeper than just a misfiring synapse, you know. It suggests these experiences are tapping into something fundamental about being human, something beyond what we currently understand about the brain.
So we've covered a lot of ground here, how our brains seem wired for belief, how those beliefs actually influence our reality, and how these spiritual experiences, they light up our brain in fascinating ways. But I'm going to circle back to something Newberg said that really stuck with me, this idea that God won't go away. What makes him so sure?
It all goes back to self-transcendence, that thing we were talking about before. Newberg says that urge to connect with something bigger than ourselves. It's so deeply rooted in how our brains work, like built into the system, that is probably not going anywhere anytime soon.
So it's not just people clinging to old ideas. It's like our brains are actually seeking out those transcendent experiences, no matter what we call them.
Exactly. And think about it. Religion has been around for, what, like forever, giving people that framework for experiencing the transcendent purpose, morals, a community to belong to. Makes sense. Our brains find comfort in that.
Right. It's like a blueprint we've been using for a long time. But what about the future, right? Our brains are always evolving. Could our experience of spirituality change along with it?
That's the million-dollar question. And Newberg even wonders about it. He thinks the way religion looks, the specifics, those might shift like they always have. But that core need for meaning, for purpose, for connection, that's likely here to stay.
So even if traditional religion fades for some people, that drive for something more will find a new outlet.
That's Newberg's bet. He says, unless our brains just totally rewire themselves, which is a whole other thing, that desire for self-transcendence is going to keep looking for a way to express itself. Mm-hmm. Could be new forms of spirituality, deep experiences in nature, even connecting with art, music, something that makes us feel part of something bigger.
Huh. Makes you wonder what those future religions will look like. But for now, let's bring it back down to earth a bit. We talked a lot about the how of these experiences, the brain stuff, but what about their impact on our lives? You mentioned there's more and more research connecting religion and spirituality with good health.
Absolutely. And that's where Newberg's work gets really practical. He's not just studying the brain science. He's also figuring out how those spiritual experiences can actually be good for us.
Okay, now you're talking. What kind of benefits are we talking specifically?
Studies show people who are regularly engaging in their religion, their spiritual practices, they tend to have lower blood pressure, less risk of heart disease, even live longer in some cases.
Whoa, seriously? But how does that work? Like, is there a direct line from praying or meditating to a healthier heart?
Newberg's research gives us some clues. Remember the amygdala and hippocampus we were talking about before? Turns out practices like meditation, prayer, they can actually calm the amygdala down, and that's our brain's stress alarm, basically.
So it's like hitting the snooze button on stress.
Exactly. And when that alarm quiets down, our whole body kind of chills out too. Heart rate, blood pressure go down, stress hormones drop, and our brain, our body, we go into this deep relaxation mode.
Makes sense. It's like giving our brain a break from all the noise of everyday life.
Totally. And the more we do those practices, the stronger those neural connections related to relaxation and feeling good they become, like building up a muscle, but for handling stress.
So what I'm hearing is exploring spirituality, whether it's through traditional religion or something else, it could be a key to a longer, healthier, even happier life.
It's definitely a possibility, and Newberg's research really backs that up. And honestly, the more we understand how our brains are wired for this stuff, for belief, for meaning, for that feeling of something bigger than ourselves, the better we can use those abilities to live better lives.
Now, that is a thought-provoking takeaway. It seems like we've only just dipped our toes into this whole world of neuroscience and spirituality. Thanks for taking this deep dive with me. I feel like my brain just got a serious workout.
Anytime. I'm always up for exploring these big questions. The answers, or at least the search for them, it's endlessly fascinating.